Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Pino, the Italian winemaker who lives about a block away from me. He's what you would call in Australian terms a mate. Now, I'll give a bit of a background history to this. So, I'm in New South Wales, which is the big smoke. It's, you know, Sydney Opera House is a big city here. People have been in cities for years and stuff like that. Now, this, you know, to the outsider, the Australians would seem extremely Australian, but the Australians here are a bit more snotty, busy. It's sort of almost like the New York of Australia. Whereas Melbourne's a bit more European, cosmopolitan, it's a bit more hard going. So I know this when I came, began driving up here from Victoria, people were far more aggressive on the road and cut in and sped up a lot more quickly. The traffic moved fast, people walked faster and all that type of stuff. I say this because I didn't grow up in either New South Wales or Victoria, which is on the eastern seaboard. I grew up a little bit further west, still to the east, in Adelaide in South Australia. And I only say this is because in Adelaide, South Australia, in the weekends, there'd be sort of no concept of child safety, and all the kids would be turned out onto the streets, and you'd walk around and you'd mingle and you'd just walk up to your friend's place unannounced and just talk to them, and you'd have your friends down the street, a sort of like a big, broad community street gang, in general, in South Australia, you would say hello to everyone, and everyone you'd speak to as if they're a long friend. And so you would be quite used to just carrying on a conversation, a serial conversation, with different people at different points, being able to carry it along. I don't know how it describes. So when I came to New South Wales, it was a little bit of a shock. People didn't say g'day to you as much. Well, they did come across, they didn't stop to speak to you very much. But on the weekends with my kids, I'd walk out and I'd carry on the tradition of dropping in on people's houses. And I really didn't really worry all that much that it wasn't very much a done thing to do. And you'd meet people at various situations, soccer, school meetings and stuff like that. And you'd try and work, and then be the common problems that you'd work through. In general, the common problem would be a nutcase trying to amalgamate at school, or to turn a park into a business or something like that. You'd have to come in and work on it. I can't quite describe. So you'd walk around that neighbourhood, drop into people, and you'd meet people just walking and strike up friendships. So there was sort of a general friendship stuff. Now, what's happened in recent years is, as I've got uglier, I think might be one of the stories, and people have become, and they burn out. And obviously with the stroke and stuff like that, you have sort of lost a little bit of your diamond edge, your calling card. And I've had to scale it right back and work on precision friends, and a group of friends in a story. And so Pino's one of those friends who I can rely on as an incubation friend. I've sort of explained the stroke, you know, it's all about that. I know all about his problems, blah, blah, I hope not all. And there's a few people around on that level. And to deal with some large problems, we've formed the Glenbrook Advanced Concept Institute. And it's applied for funding, or it's applied as an advisory body for government funding. And it's had stuff shipped to it for overseas, just a group of us over here. And we're all directors, and including Pino. There's another. And with these people, I just work and interact and help with them at their overall problem. I'm always encouraging sort of listening to stuff as I struggle away. And this will be a podcast. I've sort of introduced Pino to podcasts, and another important person in the Institute, Glenbrook Institute, is Chris. And Chris has been sick for a few weeks now. I haven't been able to visit him due to contagious sickness. Sort of like he got ahead of the curve in the COVID-19 with something else. To go across, when reality doesn't work for us, we sort of create our own reality. So I heard that Pino was making wine, a little bit in the background. I said, "Oh, sure, I'll take one." And then we're going to organise a institute award, and. Look, there's only. I should go back on the wine story stuff. Okay, look, over the years, there have been various people have been brewing their own concoctions, and in general, they have been, or at least in my youth days, have been absolutely. There's some sort of chemical for paint strip or something like that. Someone was brewing their own gin. Well, and they had to get me in for various expertise to weld up some copper coils or things like that, and the thing is that they would tell me one thing and then I'd work out that it's for brewing, and try to tell them about food grade and all that type of crap. So you can imagine some of the really horrible. I did drink out of professors some plum wine that had plum trees, and I had plum wine, and that was wow. I was a bit tipsy on the way home, driving home. That's when I first realised you shouldn't drink and drive. I didn't realise I only had one tiny little, whatever they are, you know, port glass, I suppose, might be the story of it. Pino had this one, the label. I decided I'd work on later label. But I was thinking of cosmic wine. I'd be able to give a good cosmology of the universe on the background. I've always been to reading the back of wine labels because they say so little, but so pompously that they're just, it's just an amazing, it's a sort of an art form, and I wanted to do one where I got packed in a bit of a basic cosmo. So it would be, I was going to do the cosmic wine, with multiple medals on it, and stream it live to Italy, his village in the mountains, high up in the mountains at the back of Pompeii, between Pompeii and Naples in Italy, is one group. Another group up in Tuscany. You can hear all the birds in the background here. It's really, really quiet. The school is operating next door, but I would say I can't see. I don't think there is a single student at it. There's someone out there walking. I think I'll arrest them. Oh, they're only walking with one person. Okay, by themselves. Now, the problem is that I have a problem that I've got a split personality, so I really can't. I've already congregated. I'll probably be under arrest for just being by myself. I was just trying to get back there. So we were going to have an award and stream it live to Italy, and I just have to sort of set up the cameras, sort of slowly getting towards that type of stuff, and sort of build a YouTube up, just a little clip, just to put around ourselves where. You know, it's just a small clip, the tasting, the winner is the gold medal, and get it in the local newspaper, institute, all this complete falafel, or palaver, as we call it, institute this and little YouTube clip of it. And so he's taken it, he gave me a bottle, and he then, after giving me the bottle, he said, "Oh, don't drink it. Put it on its side." And various people who know about homebrews were going, that will be awful, because it's sort of this, huge wine industry, you know, like I suppose other countries produce cars and stuff. We in South Australia, there's just from space, as you know, you can, because I've cycled along there, you cycle them, and as far as the eye can see is vineyards. This is industrial scale wine, and technologies and computers and stuff like this, and the idea of anyone making their own home wine, which is quite good. And then sort of trying to fire up, I decided that I will have a social gathering. And the social gathering was, invite friends, it's sort of like you'll get a low strike rate of friends accepting, so invite them all. So I got a group of friends, which was really pretty much like going around the zoo and ripping different animals out of the cage and putting in the same one and saying, now I'm going to have a conference with it. And you've got a panther and a seal and a penguin and a slug, just hoping that they don't eat each other. But they went here and they drank Pinot's wine, and it was this sort of, I know there's some people who are naive and accepting, there are other people who were just a look of terror, and their look of terror turned to a look of delight. It was a fantastic, and indeed it was a great wine. It doesn't keep well. It had to. It's one of these things about, it's got to breathe for 15 minutes, and then it doesn't keep well a day or two after being open, or not as open. It's not as fantastic. And then this is fantastic. And so Pino's gone back and massively expanded his wine making stuff. Rather than making it in his mum's cellar, he's moved stuff up in his garage. And at that stage, it was about a week or two before the lockdown, but however, Australia was in virtual lockdown anyway, in terms of the word was out, like, don't visit any friends, even though it's official about a week ahead, it was, I really couldn't, you know, spend too much time looking in. And I think it was the last hurrah. My daughter was going off to this scout, you know, older scout thing called Ventures, in the bush, creepy in the bush, and creepy in the bush. You're walking along, and there's this hut fairly deep in the bush with lights on it at night, and the sort of thing that you go and walk your children to and back. Just because if anything did happen, you'd be just, you know, the news would come in and they say, what was this parent thinking, even though it's really not necessary. And so Pino has expanded it, and I'm sort of looking and saying, perhaps I should add some electronics to it, you know, get some temperature measuring for it. And then the lockdown's come completely, and I'm looking after probably four people in their 90s, sort of taking oral histories or, you know, organising just stupid things that I normally organise with them. And I've sort of saying, two are online. Chris, unfortunately, is not online. So Chris of the Institute, he's a director of the Institute. I've got in MP3 players, and so I can load something on MP3 player and drop it off on his postbox, so he can pick it out and listen to it, press a button, and all he has to do is plug in and listen. That the unfortunate thing is that we organized, set it up, and he lost it. His little MP3, these are $2, they're from China, they're $2 each, MP3 players. Press it. And so don't worry, I then ordered four, so he'd lose four in a way, and structure it. And it's always a bit of a mystery, a bit of a struggle getting on the computer with him. I'll organise stuff. So really, he's one person that I do want to get video conferencing. There's another person who's just really hard. Other two people who are really hard to get. There's yet another person who is, I'm a bit uncomfortable with my face on video, you know, on the internet, which is, you know, a bit surprised, not surprising, but it's that entire visual presence, which I've sort of have remedied. There's another person who I'm trying to get look at getting government money to get a iPad to contact him, get in contact with him. But the money is there, but the actual people in the organisation are just too conservative to exploit it. They're just, I'll just try and get it done over the time. So there's that, and so there's, in general, there's these people with computers, but they're really uncomfortable with looking. And there's this basic thing about, I suppose, myself. I really, one of the things is when I have my hair cut, I just close my eyes because I can't stand how ugly I look. Not ugly. I just, it's much more enjoyable not to see your face. And so this is that general thing. So Pino is one person. It took a while to get his phone number. I've got his email. He got his phone number. Then I phoned him up, and we essentially going along the line of how ugly you are. I'm just to see your ugly face, my ugly face, warn anybody else coming into the room that you're ugly. And people hearing me over the phone said, "Oh, is that Peter Hill?" And I said, "No, it's not me." And they sort of laughed. There's this sort of overall humour about denying who you are. You know, if someone comes in and says, "Is that you?" You say, "Absolutely not. It's completely not me whatsoever." And and it's sort of a general male greeting of, "Gosh, you're looking ugly. You really let yourself go. You're looking awful." It's a general thing you say it when you meet another. I have to confess, another male, or, you know, I want to set up a video conference just to check out how ugly you are. My gosh, you're ugly. And it's part of this low-key, relaxed thing. I don't know, well, the rest of the world's off buying, you know, skin-tight jeans and whatever it is, Brill cream, sort of, you know, lounging out with a big open buttoned shirt with the gold stuff going across and dark sunglasses. We've sort of fallen off the conveyor belt and in the ugly part, and we're just two sort of a group of troll dolls trying to describe how ugly each others are. So this is important that we'll try and get the video stuff going, and try to grow it from there. I just find it's really rather sad, the influence of one conservative person can stop a whole group of people around them not going on, not getting technology. So it's really interesting to see that one conservative person can sort of make the other people feel nervous and be negative. And and it's also really interesting, what I was doing was just going for a walk around the house, putting that on the internet, and going for a walk up the shop, just putting that on the internet, just for friends who have got less mobile, just so they can have a good look. It's maybe interesting, and it's interesting that people there saying, you don't want to put the outside world on the internet. You don't want to put that on the internet. I'd take it down. And all it is a picture. It's like no music, nothing. It's just pad, walk down a street. No one's going to be at all interested. Or walk around the outside of the house. Like, there's no way you could tell where it's from, but people have asked to go down. And of course, what you do is take it down instantly. So that's the general gist. I'll try and get Pino on the video conference. I myself don't know which is best to go. I'm finding different things are irritating in terms of Google Hangouts. It tends to be really low quality and really difficult to set up. Zoom seems to be the best. Skype is an insane program because it takes over all the resources of your whole computer. And sort of a series of applications which running that sort of a robot program takes in a file, puts it to one application, takes it out of one application, puts it into another, constructs it, then emails it, then looks at it, and uploads, and does all these different things, and it's trying to do all these things, and it's got this big, fat Skype program in the middle of it, sort of just, you know, taking up resources. I don't know exactly what sort of the ultimate in terms of, it's, I suppose, turning your computer into a mobile phone, but it's just a very aggressive program. So we'll go across on that and perfect the ugly insult. My gosh, you're ugly. There should be a classification guidance, you know, MA or R rated for ugliness to, you know, prepare people, or I'm watching you to get to inoculate myself against ugliness so I can see progressively more ugly things. And it's just too much for me. That general thing sort of just takes, relax. I don't know, it would horrify various people, but to get it done. So there's that natural tendency to get things done. So I'll see what I can get done. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.